We'll begin this second edition of the Rain Report for 2007 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning January 12, 2007, one day before my birthday, this is the Rain Report, available for transmission over amateur radio from therainreport.com as an MP3 file or podcast, also telephonically at area code 641-985-5999. That's 641-985-5999. We'll tell you where you can listen to archived Rain Reports via your cell phone next week. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Many hams are mariners. You'll hear them cruising the ham bands as maritime or marine mobile. Ken Barnes is not a ham, but he loves sailing. Barnes began his attempt to be the first West Coast mariner to circumnavigate the globe on October 28, 2006. On New Year's weekend, he lost all navigational control of his yacht in 40-knot winds and 25-foot swells hundreds of miles off Chile. He was in dire straits as his satellite phone was only working sporadically. All he had going for him is that his vessel was still afloat.
I learned this American was stranded on a reef somewhere in the South Pacific where two oceans collide at the tip of the continent down there.
That was Mike Morales, KC6CYK, a most unlikely hero who resides in Riverside, California. He is being credited with saving Ken's life. Here is his story as related to Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, of the Amateur Radio Newsline.
Well, I called the family. I found their number in the directory, introduced myself to Kathy Chambers, and I told her that I lived in Chile when I was a kid. And speaking the language and having a ham radio license in the States, being affiliated with the Radio Club of Chile, I was able to talk to my fellow colleagues down there, and I offer my services, voluntarily, of course. And then she says, please do what you can. We spent about 3 to 4, almost 4 days sleeping 15 minutes at a time. I have a novice license, but I was able to go to 20 meters, 15 meters, and monitor and listen and talk in 10 meters, occasionally breaking the rules and talking on 20 meters with the ham radio operators and the Charlie Echo 7s in the southern part of Chile. I was just lucky, but also I wanted to volunteer my time. Everything went well, and we have Ken Barnes back in the States, healthy, alive. To his family, it has been a very nice gift to begin 2007.
So you actually watching television, listening to the radio, and you heard about this, right?
Yes, that was Monday evening when I hear that the sailor and his privateer were stranded adrift. Nobody knew where exactly he was, but I knew that he was in the most difficult part of the continent, the Estrecho de Magallanes or the Magallanes Passway there, and the Cape of Horns. Horns is not something that you go over there and play with, because Mother Nature is so drastic at that particular part of the world, even though it's summertime over there now, but it's not like the summer that we know in California or the East Coast United States. You're talking about an area where for the last 500, if not more, this goes back to the Vikings, and the Cape of Horns has been taken credit for perhaps sending to the bottom of the ocean more than 10,000 vessels, canoes, ships. It is calculated so far that it has taken close to 7,000 lives. And so for him to be stranded nearby, but away 500 miles from the Chilean coast, it was a difficult task. I don't think Ken Barnes yet has faced reality that he was very close in losing his life. In my case, at the other end of the world, in Riverside, California, when I got on the radio, I felt the pain of the family when I talked to Kathy and his dad, Kenneth Barnes Sr., and I can tell that they were desperate for any type of information. And so the few radio contacts that I made with the CE7s down in Punta Arenas, and then with the Polar Pesca, which is a private company that rescued him, I was relaying the information as far as the location of the privateer. I got the latitude and longitude from the Punta Arenas radio operators, not from the Chilean Navy. and I'd relate it to the U.S. Coast Guard, as well as the family. So for the first time, they knew first of hand the true information, the true location, and what it was being done to rescue him.
What was the reaction of the family each time you'd call and say, hey, this is the latest?
First of all, they were in tears. I can hear in the background every time that I talk to Kathy or one of his sisters or his dad that everybody was screaming, yelling, and crying in the background. This was a family that was in fear for Ken Barnes' life. And so their feeling was of joy when I related whatever news I could get from my radio contacts down there. As an example, I was the first one to ascertain the reality of the system in a country that has a Marxist socialist government and with a navy in Chile that does not have a coast guard and with a navy not willing to go and rescue him because, first of all, they said to me, well, what's the big deal? I mean, he put himself in that predicament. Why are we going to send a warship over the area? Is it going to be too costly? And I said, you know, you guys are inhumane. I relay the message back there. You don't realize that we're talking about an American about to lose his life, and so you must do something. I pressure them to react. Even though the Navy was not really eager to go into his rescue because the closest warship with a helicopter platform was about 5.5 to 7 days away from him, too late to rescue him. And then the Chilean Navy claims that they had a P-3 Orion plane flying over Ken Barnes. Well, let me tell you the reality and the truth of that statement the Chilean Navy claims. The P-3 Orions are used by the Chilean Navy to patrol what they claim to be their 200-mile territorial waters. And they patrol those waters because they have been invaded by Japanese, Taiwanese, Chinese, etc., going to fish on those waters. And so what in reality they did, they didn't send a special plane to help Ken Barnes. They only asked those planes, the P-3 Orions, to extend another 300 miles their patrol to locate Ken Barnes, which they did, credit granted. But actually, it is now the U.S. Coast Guard that is paying the private company identified by me as Polar Pesca, which I was the first one to relate that information to the family, that the Polar Pesca was being forcibly recruited by the Chilean Navy to go on Ken Barnes' rescue.
You're listening to Mike Morales, KC6CYK, the Riverside, California ham, who has been credited with saving mariner Ken Barnes from a watery grave aboard his disabled yacht hundreds of miles from landfall. Mike will conclude his story in a moment. This is The Rain Report, accessible from therainreport.com as well as from arnewsline.com.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Those 30 to 34 sailors at the Polar Pesca are the real heroes of the rescue, not the Chilean Navy that plays a price tag in a human life. This case was an American. It was important to me to relay the right information. It was important to me as an American ham radio operator to relate to the family of this brave American, even though stranded, even though adrift. You don't know at that particular time what is the emotional state of a person that has spent about 2 months in rough waters and down to the Pacific. You don't know if it is delusional. You don't know if it is borderline suicide. Well, I'll end it. Nobody's coming to my rescue, so I'll throw myself in the water. But the few contacts that his girlfriend, Kathy Chambers, she was soon to become Barnes, by the way, the few moments, a few seconds, 30 to 60 seconds at the time per day that she got to talk to his dying satellite phone at the privateer, she told him that rescue was on the way, and rescue was on the way because of the information that we gave the family and the pressure. Let me emphasize that pressure that we apply as a ham radio operator to this Charlie Echo 7s and the authorities down there. They're taking the credit now, of course. It doesn't matter who takes the credit in Chile. Karen Barnes is back, alive, sane. But the only ones that deserve credit in this rescue operation are the sailors of the Polar Pesca 1.
You are very, very proud of your country and being an American, aren't you?
Yes.
It's in your heart. You're also very, very proud of the hams down there and the sailors, that they're the ones that risked their lives, really, in this.
Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about my background. My father was from Spain, married a German lady. I got divorced when I was about 5 or 6. I was with my father, went back to his hometown in Valencia, Spain. He was a merchant sailor, by the way. And then he went into Chile and married a Chilean lady. And so I grew up about 3 to 7 years of my childhood in Chile. Knowing the language because of my father's Castilian and because of what I saw there as a child, it made an impact on me. When I came back finally at age 17 to 18 to California, and I joined the Army. Guess what? I became a radio operator, a 31 Victor Radio Tech, and I fell in love with radio. I used to operate an old KWM2A Collins, and so I fell in love with that radio. As a matter of fact, when I got out of the Army, I bought one just like it, and I still have that radio. I'm proud of the fact that even though we have Internet, even though we have satellite telephones, even though we have microwaves that bounce someone's image of voice from one point to another in the world, we still go back to basics, which is radio. And in this case, the ham radio operators over there, the Charlie Echo 7s, are people with hearts, are people that really love with passion what they do. Me, as an American, having lived in Chile when I was a kid, I could relate to them because I knew the language. And I knew the customs, and I knew the traditions, and I talked to them about that. And I relate to the ones that didn't knew that I used to live in Chile. And so they felt more closer to me, and so they relate to me really, really critical and confidential information. As an example, the Chilean Navy had no intention in rescuing Ken Barnes. To them, there was someone else stranded there, and they were expecting him not to survive. That's the reality of that part of the world. To send a warship into international waters, away 300 more miles over the 200 nautical miles that they had to extend their trip, it was not worth it. They're now claiming credit, and they're now saying, yeah, we coordinate this, and we instruct them. Baloney. They didn't do that. The private company, Polar Pesca, is the one, which is a factory fleet of fishing vessels. They are the ones that deserve the credit. Whatever money they lost in the end of one of 2.5 days trying to get to Ken Barnes, it was worth it, but at the same time, costly to them. I do know for a fact that the United States Coast Guard is paying the Polar Pesca company whatever money they say that they invested on. Whatever claim the Chilean Navy is placing now to get reimbursed, they don't deserve it. We have about 5 hours difference. They are 5 hours ahead of us. And so communications in the middle of the afternoon, California time, were impossible. But early in the evening, late at night, early in the morning, we could communicate for 10 to 20 minutes at a time. It was wonderful. It was beautiful.
You only have a novice license. Are you going to upgrade now? Has it just said to you, hey, maybe it's time to get my general?
That's a very emotional question for me. If you can relate to it, when I was in the service, I confess, I very often used to go to ham radio vans and talk to the 20 meters, 15 to 40 meters with my military license. But it never occurred to me, when I got out of the Army, I applied for my novice, I got it, going into 20 years now.
So you may be the world's oldest novice, you know that.
Thank you for reminding me. Everybody's getting old around me, and I'm the only one that still has a novice license. But I'm going to upgrade my license, so thanks to the fellows here at the Ham Radio Club in Riverside. They invited me to the meeting this week, and I'm going to attend, and I'm going to give my test and whatever is required from me to get my tech.
It's over now. Ken Barnes is home, and although he says he wants to go out again, do you think Ken should get himself a ham license before he goes out again?
Well, again, he was confiding more in the newer technology. He thought that he was protected and in good shape with a sat phone, which was not what he faced down there. The problem that he had is that he was not really prepared electronically, and he was not really prepared to face that. He didn't know the language. What he did was brave. I don't think he should repeat it again. As a matter of fact, during the press conference yesterday, I said, if I have to do it, I will do it all over again. But you, please do not do it again. The family does not want him to invest a single penny on this endeavor any longer. I got a chance to meet with the family at the airport, and as well as with Ken, and then they invited me to their home in Newport Beach. We spent some very nice and very good quality time in the privacy of their home. I met the whole family, the twins, the sisters, the in-laws, his mother, his new stepmother, etc., his former wife, the mother of the twins, and there is already talk about a movie. As a matter of fact, when I was there, they got several calls from studios wanting to do a movie. And they talk about their requirements. But if there's going to be a movie, hey, guess what? I want to play the ham radio operator.
The dramatic story of West Coast Mariner Ken Barnes, as related by Mike Morales, KC6CYK, the ham who is being credited with using amateur radio to organize the rescue of Ken and his disabled yacht, hundreds of miles off the Chilean coast, thanks to Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, for supplying the audio for this week's program. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2007 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.